Well, thanks for coming to Calvary this morning. You know, I walked in the front door this morning, and it was just basically Harlow and I and Terry here right away, and Sue, and I apologized to Harlow. I said, for my dress this morning, I just threw on some jeans. I was running real late, and Harlow goes, oh, no, the top preachers in the country preach with jeans on now.
Yeah.
And then I didn't even have my tie on. I had it wrapped around me. I haven't even finished dressing, really, and he says, drop the tie. You don't need a tie. So thanks, Harlow, for the encouragement there. Pastor Eric, when he first came to Calvary, he, you know, Pastor Eric's kind of obsessively organized, and I'm not making fun of him. I know he's going to be listening to this, so not making fun of him. That's a good trait to have. He's very organized, and he's always concerned about what happens if he has a family emergency. He's not on Saturday night, he has to leave for the cities or whatever, and who's going to fill in for me on the pulpit? And I told him, don't worry about it. I always have a sermon ready to go. And I wasn't joking. I always have a sermon ready to go. The Lord just kind of puts in my heart. During my quiet time, I jot down little notes, and I said, you know, that'd make a good message someday. And about a month later in my quiet time, he always put bring that back towards me, and I always jot some more scripture down or some more notes. And so I always have a sermon ready to go. And led by the Holy Spirit, and Pastor Eric thought that was weird. But with Anna being pregnant, he was always concerned, you know, the baby could come anytime. Are you ready to go, Paul? I said, I'm ready to go. And actually, I have three sermons prepared over the time. Yep. Thanks. Thanks, Denise. Actually, I'm going to let you choose what sermon we're going to hear this morning. And there's three of them, okay? Here's the choices you get, and you guys can tell me. The seven laws of Leviticus, we can go through that this morning. Revelation, what do all the symbols mean? That's the other sermon. Or sharing and talking about Jesus with your family and friends. So which one would you like to hear?
Three.
The 700 laws in Leviticus? You know what? You know, I'm not going to have you guys choose, really. I'm gonna let Carly choose. Carly's sitting back there. Carly, which sermon would you like to hear? All right, we'll do that one. We'll do that one. Thanks, good choice. Carly, that's awesome. All right, if you open your Bibles, first slide here is, got a few slides, is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, and the sermon is talking about Jesus to people. Got your Kleenexes ready? You know me, I'm worse than Pastor Eric sometimes. I should back up a little bit. Pastor Eric, you know, when he does a sermon, he feels spirit-led by sitting at his computer and pounding out the sermon on his computer. And when I've done sermons, I just get a post-it note and jot a few notes down, and I know what I want to talk about and what the Lord's leading me to talk about. But Pastor Eric, he feels led the most by pounding it out on his computer, and there's nothing wrong with that. And so you'll always see him up here on Sundays holding a piece of paper, and he's reading what the Lord's given them. And I did that a couple weeks ago. I knew what I wanted to talk about, so I sat at the computer, and that's what I did. So I'm going to try that this morning instead of my little post-it note stuff, okay? And so I got the sermon ready here, and we'll see what we come up with. What? It's only 11:15. All right. I shouldn't try to be funny. But I always enjoy Pastor Eric's messages. They're awesome, and I love them. And, okay, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. We'll jump into some scripture right away. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and 6, I just want to focus on one scripture here, but we've got to read the before and after too. Devote yourselves to prayer, watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. And then Paul tells the Colossians, pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Good scriptures, huh? Before we continue, we're all at different levels in our spiritual walk with Christ. If you're born again, and when you get born again, Paul tells us we're babes in Christ. You drink milk, you know, and then as you grow. I've been a Christian now since, and I have a date, April 5th, 1985. What's that? 30 years? 30 years exactly. 30 years of studying God's Word. 30 years of spending time with God. 30 years of spending time with other people that believe like me. Born again, a Jesus follower for 30 years. I've been on two mission trips, and they've both been with Calvary Baptist Church. I went to Mexico, and this past August, we, as a church, went to the Baltimore, D.C. area. And on both those mission trips, on the way back, I always ask myself, why don't I talk to my family members, my coworkers, my friends, acquaintances that I have, about Jesus on a regular basis, maybe a daily basis? Why don't I do that? I find it, there's really no problem sharing the gospel on a mission trip to strangers, sharing Jesus with them. But I come home, and I'm being brutally honest. I do that when I give messages, I lay myself bare. When I come home, in a way that doesn't get done, that doesn't happen. But yes, there's been times in my 30 years that I've shared Jesus with family members and friends. In my Christian walk, I've shared with intimate family members and my brothers and sisters. They've come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior by my prayers. We did a thing at Calvary here a long time ago, praying for family members to come to know the Lord. And they have, and my relationship with them is awesome, about talking about Jesus when we're together and what the Lord's done in our lives. So there's been times that I've done that, and with my friends. But when I was born again back in 1985, man, I had a really tough time the first couple of years telling people what happened to me. I was changed from the inside. I started not to go to parties. I was always making excuses of not going to the bars anymore with my friends, and I was avoiding my friends. When my family, my friends, and my family found out in that first year that I was going to a Bible study, that my wife and I started attending this crazy church called Calvary Baptist, wow, did they get upset with me. They couldn't understand what was going on. And I've asked Jesus to forgive me for this, for not being bold enough to speaking the words that I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That didn't happen right away. The first time I did that in that first year was with a cousin of mine at work. We were the only ones in the office. And we were going to leave for the day. My cousin shouted, can I talk to you about something, Paul? I said, sure. And he shouted at me, what is wrong with you? And I still have this in my Bible. It's the same one. Okay, get the Kleenex out. I said, just a minute. I have something in my vehicle. I ran out in the parking lot. And I came and I got this. It's kind of beat up. It's the Steps to Peace with God from the Billy Graham Association. It's very simple to go through and to read. And I said, here, read this. And tell me what you think. And he took it, and he went home. And the next day, I couldn't wait to ask him, did you read it? And didn't say nothing to me all day. And at the end of the day, I finally said, "Did you read that little pamphlet I gave you?" He goes, "Yeah, I did. Actually, I went through it a couple times." I said, "Well, what you think?" And he handed it back to me. He says, "I'm not ready to do that. I'm not ready to do that." And he gave it back to me. That was my first experience of sharing Jesus with a family member. I'll be honest again. I would like my speech every day to be about Jesus. It's really not a part of my daily life where I share with coworkers every day or my family every day. And I want it to be. No question is going to come, "How about you?" Oh, sorry, Harl. Got a couple stories I want to just share, and I've asked permission to share this with them. One of my favorite stories is, Harlow mentioned this actually a few weeks ago, the first time that Denise met Ann Hoshek. We came out of the house, and Denise says, "You know, that lady talks about Jesus like she knows him." And the first time I met Ann, we were driving out on the Bible study in that first year. They lived on a farm between Madison and Dawson. And the people that we were with turned around and said, "Now, Paul, when you meet Ann, she's a hugger. Just going to give you a warning. She talks about Jesus all the time." Got out of the car, and the back door flies open. "Welcome to Bible study," and gives me a big hug. That's the first time I met Ann. Her speech is all about Jesus. I use her as an example. Okay, how about you? Think about this for a minute. We have been given the most awesome gift of spending eternity with our Lord. Think about that for a second. We have been given the most awesome gift of spending eternity with our Lord. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you asked him into your life, and you asked for forgiveness of your sins, what's God promise? What does God promise? God promises eternal life with him in heaven, where there's no pain, sorrow, in heaven. That's his promise to us. How exciting is that? Is that exciting?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
What, can you think of anything better than that? Who said no? That was good. Good answer. Viking tickets, is that better than that? Winning the $300 million lottery, would that be better? No. What's better than that, than spending eternity in heaven? And yet, for the most part, what? Do we talk about it a lot? Do we share that with our family and friends? Let's bring up John chapter 1, verse 41. Teresa, please. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible and has so much to say. It's fun, actually. I wish I would have been there to see this. John chapter 1, verse 41. "The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah.'" The first thing Andrew did. Some versions say he ran and told Simon Peter. The first thing Andrew did, what's the first thing you did when you found the Messiah? When you found Jesus, what's the first thing you did? The book of Acts is full of families coming to know Jesus. Can you imagine the conversation in the home? Or when someone came to know Jesus? That's the first thing they did. I read of a Chinese farmer. I love this little story. I read of a Chinese farmer who had cataracts removed from his eyes at a Christian mission camp, at a clinic. A few days later, that missionary doctor looked out his window and saw that Chinese farmer on the end of a rope. And on that long rope, in a single line, were about a dozen blind Chinese men who were rounded up and led for miles to that missionary doctor who had worked a miracle on this farmer's eyes. Can you just picture that? That's all we who have received God's gift of eternal life through Jesus should be. We are so blessed that we should want everyone to know so that they can receive the same good news. Let me share a story about our missions trip this past summer. Tom Fox is his name, and you can bring him up, Teresa. Tom Fox is his name. Tom is an evangelist. That's him on the right, by the way, if you don't know. Tom is an evangelist for Open Air Campaigners, and he's the director of Open Air Campaigners in the Baltimore, D.C. area. He is on the street every day telling people about Jesus. And the gospel message is being spread there every day. If we can go to the next slide, you can't really see him, but see him in front of the, this is us in the crowd here, and it was just full that night. Tom's got 10 commandments up, and he's sharing Jesus with people. See him in the middle there? Right in front of the lost and saved poster thing? That's Tom. You know, I learned a lot from Tom that week. We all did that. We're on the missions trip. Every morning, our missions team would get together for devotions, and Tom would go over what we were going to do that day, where we were going to go, who we were going to see. And then we'd go out, and we worked hard on the streets of Baltimore and D.C. And at night, we'd get together, and we'd have these evaluations of what went right, what did we say, who did we meet, what we did, and we would evaluate that. In the first couple nights, we went out on the street, and I'm going to be brutally honest again. Some of us felt very uncomfortable and not prepared how to talk with people about Jesus, how to share the gospel, how to answer people's questions. I remember visiting one gentleman on one of those first nights on the street, and I wasn't listening to a thing he was saying. I was more worried about what I was going to say next. I was wondering if he was going to think, was I going to say something dumb? Will I say something that will offend him? Or will I make this person that's talking to me not want anything to do with Jesus by my response or what I had to say? That's what was going through my head as he's talking to me. I was scared and nervous. And I know a couple of us, if not most of us, are experiencing the same thing, because that night at evaluation, we kind of shared that thing. So the next morning, Tom was wise. He made us practice giving our testimony, how we came to know the Lord, in 3 minutes. Right, Anna? 3 minutes. Pastor Eric was in on this too. Tell our story, how we came to know Jesus and how it changed our lives. 3 minutes. And we timed each other and we practiced with each other. You remember that, Carly? And that helped. Tom also shared this, and something I'll never forget, that sharing the gospel to people is God's work. It's God's work. The Holy Spirit works. When you meet with someone and start sharing about Jesus, you can bet that it's God-ordained. A God-ordained meeting. That's what Tom liked to call it, God-ordained meetings. Before we went out, when we do our devotion, before we went out, we'd pray. We've never met this person. We don't know who that person is, but God's working on his heart. Right now, God's working on his heart. You've never met him, but you're going to meet today. And it's God-ordained meetings. He has given us the privilege of being a part of it, part of sharing Jesus. Tom said the first step in sharing Jesus is prayer, and lots of it. Always prayer. We can pray of a particular people. We can pray for opportunities. We can pray for the right words to say. We can pray for courage. We can pray that what we do and say gives honor to God. We can pray all that. See, God uses the foolish and lowly to bring about his purposes. We may just be a link in a chain of bringing a particular person to Christ. And see, my mindset was, I got to cover the gospel completely. Right? Don't we think that way? In one conversation, I found this to be a light bulb moment for me. Now I know that God can use even the slightest comments that come from my mouth to get a person thinking. The Holy Spirit convicts. The Holy Spirit is in that God-ordained meeting. If you look at it in a spiritual aspect, that's what it's about. And you know, we all on this missions trip, talked to a good number of people on the streets. A good number of people on the streets. And to my knowledge, not one of them came to know Jesus at that moment of sharing the gospel. And maybe you can go to the next slide there. Is that the next one, Teresa? Yeah, here. This is one of my favorite pictures of our trip. Correct. Whoever went with you can shout out if I'm wrong, but look at the crowd on the street. And I don't have a laser thing. Oh, well. You can see Kenzie and Aaron on the left talking, sharing the gospel with the security guard. There's Pastor Eric in the middle sharing the gospel. Here's Shelly sharing the gospel on the right. You see Carly and Tylea right behind Pastor Eric sharing the gospel with this lady. You see Curtis in the white hat sharing the gospel with the lady. And there's other people in the background there too. And Anna's where? Okay, yeah, I see Anna praying, the guy in the white shirt. Okay, there you are. It's one of my favorite pictures, and we're sharing the gospel. And that was towards the end of our week where we felt comfortable. But you know what? Like I said, I don't recall one person coming to know the Lord while we shared. Maybe I'm wrong. But Tom always said, don't be disappointed when we go back in evaluate. Don't be disappointed. You're planting seeds. Some of you are watering. Don't be disappointed. We were kind of disappointed at first. And I know Shelly, if next picture, Shelly visited this young man for a long time. I forget his name. Does anybody remember his name? Anyway, there's another picture, I think. That's a little blurry. That man had tears in his eyes, that young teenager. Had tears in his eyes the whole time Shelley was visiting with him. Could tell the Holy Spirit was convicting him. And you know what? He walked away. Shelley will never see him again, probably. But we're friends with Tom Fox on Facebook, and so when Tom posts pictures, he's still in the same place. He goes to the same places. You recognize the landmarks. And Shelley's always looking in the crowd for this young man. Is he back? Maybe he's even helping Tom. Maybe he came to know the Lord. Isn't that exciting? You know, I was so fired up about visiting with people about Jesus on the way back in our, we call it the ghetto van we were in. Driving back, 14 of us packed in a 15-passenger van. We talked about, what are we going to do when we get home? What are we going to do when we get home? And I came to the conclusion, a lot of people are going to come up to me and say, how was your mission trip? And I didn't want to give them the usual answer of, oh, it was great. I wanted to share Jesus with that person. And you talk about a God-ordained meeting. The first day I was back, well, we came back late at night, but the first day, the next day, God ordained a meeting with a friend. And he asked how my mission trip was. And I shared the gospel message. I shared Jesus with him. Not nervous, out of love, and like our scripture said. It was a great conversation. After that, he did all the talking. And I got to know where he was spiritually. It was awesome. It was exciting. One other thing Tom taught us, and we'll conclude here, was when visiting with people, ask this simple question. And I love this. It's so powerful. When you saw Tom with the easel in the background there, someone standing next to you, or you talk to someone about Jesus, you ask them this simple question. So what do you think about that? What do you think about that? Wow, people talk your ear off. They will. They'll talk their ear off if you just ask them that simple question. What do you think about that? You know what Pastor Eric's rally cry was? Teresa, next slide, please. I'm going to do a little Nike advertisement here, sorry. You know what Pastor Eric's rally cry was on our mission trip? Just do it. Just do it. I love that. Someone once said, the first duty of love is to listen. When I was at college, we had a whole seminar, a whole quarter, half quarter, not half quarter, half, whatever. We had a whole thing on listening, when you do sales and marketing. Listen. We studied listening, how to listen to people. The first duty of love is to listen. We often think we need a lot of the right words or some kind of formula to win others, right? But in reality, people are more willing to tell you exactly where they are spiritually if we are just willing to listen to them. Sometimes we have to zip it. And people pour out their hearts. And they'll tell you about their life experiences. And then you can do your 3-minute thing. This is what Jesus has done for me. This is what God's done for me. He can do that for you too. Just something simple and small. So I have experienced something this past summer about sharing Jesus with people. And as I mentioned, the first day back was an awesome experience for me. And I try to, since I've been back, talk about Jesus in my conversations, turn it to that. And I've done that. And God's been with me, and it's a God-ordained meeting, and it's a Holy Spirit-led thing. God is good. And that's all the time, right? All right. I think more about bringing Jesus into the conversation I have had with people. So I want to just encourage you, in closing, to share Jesus, to share his story, and share your story, if you know him as Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. And then when that happens, powerful things happen, right? Love people. Pray, share, and love people. Pray for God-ordained meetings, and pray for souls to be won. Do you think about that on a daily basis? Pray for souls to be won? Pray for your friends to come to know the Lord, your family members? John 3:3 says you must be born again. Let me go to that quick. I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. And Nicodemus challenged Jesus. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for dying on the cross for us. Lord, forgive us for not sharing like we should at times. Thank you for the opportunities you've given us, Lord. Help us to share your story. Help us to share your message, Lord, Father, to our friends, our family members, our co-workers, our acquaintances that we run into. Lord, we have the greatest news to share with people. Help us to do that. And Lord, your kingdom come. We pray that souls would be won. We just thank you for this time of getting together here this morning, learning about you, singing praises to you, Lord. We love you. We thank you for who you are and what you've done for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.